Hello, welcome to You Cat the Baker. Where do I start? I feel like I start like this every episode, and so much has happened. Let me start with, I did my first market, my first farmer's market. It happened. It finally happened. I made lists. Thank goodness I made lists. I booked a kitchen. It's about 8 minutes from where I live. I had to make a list of everything that I had to bring there. So this kitchen is for small businesses to prep their food and cook, bake, mix, whatever is necessary. They have all the equipment. And I ended up switching to their just because it was cheaper than the school that I was teaching at. And I say was because I don't know why, but the owner was saying that he couldn't afford to pay me, which I think is a little weird only because he wasn't paying me very much to begin with. But maybe he didn't like the fact that I ended up not using his kitchen and also I started another job, so then I couldn't be there when he wanted me to be. But ultimately, I just worked one day a week and made $100 for the whole day, like teaching. I mean, yes, it was like 4.5 hours of teaching. But normally when you teach, like when I taught in Sedona, I made about $45. And this was, how long ago was this? Like 6 years ago, you know, but now, I mean, you can make $100 an hour, depending on where you teach and how long you've been there. So yeah, I was making less than somebody would make at a fast food place. Because now, I don't know if you know, but Panda Express, Chipotle, they pay like, I don't know, $24, $26 an hour. And I'm thinking, wow, what am I doing? Yeah, like fast food places pay more and more every time. And all these other places in the kitchen pay less and less. I'm in the wrong industry, I think. I stopped teaching and it's fine because, again, it's not like I was making bank, you know, and it took up time. It took up energy. I enjoyed it, but me doing the farmer's market now is more important. So I found this other kitchen. And I basically pay them $20 an hour to use their kitchen. So I made lists of everything I would need to bring. I had to bring pots, all my tools. Like they had nothing. You know, you have to bring all your own equipment and ingredients and everything. Use the kitchen and then bring it all back. I mean, luckily it's not that far away. But I have equipment for home use. I don't have like 20 quart pots. You know, I don't have, like, I didn't have any large sheet trays. I had to go buy them because my oven just fits half sheet tray, like this home oven. So I had to buy all these other things. And then I used a 4 quart pot. And as I'm using it, like, I'm making my crullers. And as I'm mixing it on the stove, I'm realizing, oh my God, this is way too small, you know, like, it's like you have to do it once to know what you need for the next time. So I started in the kitchen. I started at 5 a.m. I got up at 4 a.m., actually like 4:20. And I filled the car with everything that I needed. I drove there super pitch black, like nobody's on the streets, which is a good time. Also, it's been super hot here. You know, like now I miss the mountains because it's not that hot. It'll be perfect here when it's snowing everywhere else. That's the thing. But right now it's super hot. So in the mornings, it's not. And that's the best time to go places. Now the normal wake up time for me is like 4 o'clock because I have to wake up at 4 to go to work at the hotel. And now that's like the new wake up time is 4 a.m. I make my lists. I load the car. I drive there. I bring everything into the kitchen. Nobody's there. I have a code to enter and I turn on the oven, I turn on the hoods. Like I'm the first one there of the day. And then the next person comes in at 9:15 on my spot. Like everybody has their own station. And somebody came in at 6, like another business. So I set up everything I made pretzels, so I needed the big mixer. I pre-weighed everything the day before and got everything ready. So that way, I don't have to deal with anything. You know, it's already weighed. I put everything in the mixer. I get the water from there, and that's it. I don't have to think about measuring. My pretzel bread mixes for 10 minutes. It's super hot already in the kitchen, so it's going to prove fine. And then I start the crullers. That's when I realized, oh, my pot is too small. I have to get a bigger pot for next time. And then I bought my own fryer. It's an electric fryer, only because the kitchen doesn't have a fryer. They were saying that most businesses don't have a need for a fryer and they're more health conscious. And I come in there, I'm like, I need a fryer. So I bought my own. It was a $300 fryer and it has like two baskets. I can fit 14 donuts in there at one time. And it has two separate plugins. But it draws a good amount of power, so I plugged it into their extension cord, the ones that hang from the ceiling, and I put two, you know, because I have, it's like two baskets joined into one fryer, but they have two different cords. So I put them into the same extension cord, and it overloaded. It couldn't take the power of both. So the fuse went out. I had to go find the fuse box and turn it back on. And then I separated with different extension cords. That worked, but I turned it up to 375, thinking, oh, you know, I'll just do it faster. No, that didn't work because then the fuse went out again. And I realized I can't go up more than 350 on the temperature. So, you know, it takes a while to figure everything out. And meanwhile, I have to do my own dishes. Once the bread is proofed, I weigh it out, I roll it, I make the pretzel shape, and just everything takes time, you know, and here you are cleaning everything you use, cleaning the station. I use the oven, realize the oven is baking a little bit low, so I have to increase the temperature. You know, every oven has a different story. So you have to figure it out first. I have to put like dishwash liquid, sanitizer, like just all this stuff, you know? And before I knew it, 4 hours had passed. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll get everything done in like 3 max. Here I am at 4 hours and I'm like, crap. You know, meanwhile, every hour is $20. And I didn't know how much to make. This is the first market I've ever been to. So I thought, okay, I'll make a little bit more. Because I'll sell it. Like, that was my mindset. You know, fingers crossed. But when I made everything at the cafe in Arizona, back when I worked there, I mean, word had gotten around about these donuts and the pretzels. And everything was always bought. It was never a problem to sell anything. So my mindset was, oh, you know, people are going to buy. Like, no problem. But then I get to the market, I'm like, wow, like people don't know this product. You know, I have to talk about it. I have to sample. And it's like basically square one, you know. So then I realize, oh, I made too much. But before I get to the market, like I quickly clean everything up. I prepped cookies beforehand and I baked them there at the kitchen. Just because I can bake more in their big oven, which I did, and they came out great. Just because my home oven is ridiculous, it doesn't bake anything from above. So everything always looks pale, but from the bottom, it's like almost burnt. It's like, ah, I hate home ovens that suck. I baked my cookies there and I got everything done. I cleaned everything. I packed everything into the car. I had like 70 donuts and 40 pretzels and 40 chocolate chip cookies. So I get to the house, I realize, oh, I have to get gas because I'm like empty. You know, in California, it's 4:30 right now. You know, and I'm super tired. Like, I got up so early and this was just like kind of stressful. You know, in the kitchen where I've worked, I have assistants, I have someone who does dishes. I'll just tell them what to do and it gets done. You know, I don't have to like run around. But here, it's a different story. And I mean, now everything is a different story in my life. I get home, I unload everything, but I leave the product in the car. Even though it's hot, I'm thinking, oh, this will be fine just because I need it later. I didn't glaze the donuts. I was gonna glaze them later at the market just to avoid them looking messy, you know, and maybe have them look more fresh if I glaze it there. So I get all the equipment inside, and then I start packing for the market and getting that ready. You know, there's different things I need for the kitchen than I need for the market. Like the market, I need all the equipment, the tables, the tent. And then I have to think about, okay, if I'm glazing there, I need sheet trays, I need cooling racks, I need my display to put my items in there, I need my other products. But I was so tired that I took a shower and I was super sweaty because this kitchen was so, so hot. Then I just had to lay down. Like I just laid down for like 30 minutes because I had this like kind of a headache and I just needed to relax, you know. So then I started getting everything ready. I go out to the car like a couple hours later, and I didn't cover everything completely only because I didn't want like the salt to melt on the pretzel. I didn't want the donuts to kind of get soft. But the thing is, the car was so hot that all the donuts got soft and some of them got squished. And I'm like, no, like, what is happening? And I'm thinking, damn it. Like, here I was thinking, oh, the car will keep them warm in a sense that it'll just, you know, keep them softer. But it did soften them, but they were crispy before, you know? And I realized, damn it, like, I can't keep them in a hot car. What was I thinking? So I bring them in and I tell my husband, I'm like, oh no, like my donuts are messed up. And he's like, well, what can you do? Like, he's like, I told you not to keep them in the car. And he did, you know, and I said, oh, they'll be fine. And he's like, remember what I told you that? I'm like, yes, I remember. And then I thought, okay, let me put them on a sheet tray, like over a cooling rack, and put them in the oven so that they can re-crisp. But my oven's super slow at home, and I had to do two rounds. Like, here it is getting closer and closer to the time I need to leave. And the star of the show is my donuts, not like me, in case you were wondering. But here I am, and my donuts are super soft, and they're not the way I want them to be. And I'm getting super disappointed and stressed and, like, just adrenaline. You know, who thought a farmer's market could be so stressful? So I put them in the oven. It takes like a while, maybe 20 minutes, but they do crisp up. And I'm like, oh, thank God. So then Rodolfo starts filling the car. I got something for the roof of the car so that in case there wasn't enough room, I could put things on top of the car. But my car is bigger than I thought it would be. Like, everything fit. I even had this big black soft cooler where I put all my food in so that things didn't get too soft. I put ice in there and it worked great. You know, everything fit. But then Rodolfo was like, your car needs to have AC on like the whole time as we're loading and before we leave so that nothing gets soft again, you know? And that's what I did. The AC was on full and I drove to the event. And we drove kind of early, like we were there at maybe like 1:15, like earlier than I thought we would be. Actually, no, we were there at like 2, and I was planning to be there at 2:30, but we were there pretty early, and other people were already early setting up, and it was so hot, and I was just worried. I was like, wow, I hope nothing gets messed up. I mean, thankfully, I had everything in my cooler, you know, except for the donuts. The star of the show. Rodolfo comes with me and he stays the whole time. And honestly, I couldn't have done it without him. Like, he took off basically from work for that evening. He worked during the day and then he came with me. He loaded the car. His friend showed up, like drove to our apartment, and he showed up and helped load. And like, this friend is amazing. I've never met someone this loyal, you know, like he is so loyal to my husband. that he will do anything to support us. I mean, it's on a next level, you know, and maybe this is just like the Brazilian community helping each other, but I've never met this kind of loyalty and it blows me away. You know, I'm so used to just not depending on other people, you know, and maybe I'm kind of jaded because of the industry, and maybe it's just me, because when I start depending on people, I get disappointed, you know, and maybe I have certain expectations, because it's when you have expectations that you get disappointed, you know. But I mean, yes, I probably have that in a relationship, but usually in a work environment, I am independent. You know, I get it done and I figure it out, because if I rely on other people, things go down, like things go wrong, you know. So that's important when you have your team, you know, to really work closely and communicate and just know that it'll be done. And that was like in the hotel, I had a great team. I didn't think that my husband would be there for the first time for the whole thing. I just wasn't expecting it. Like, I'm so happy he was, because what was I thinking? Like, how was I thinking I could do all this on my own? Like, first of all, I was so tired from being up at 4 a.m. and prepping at this kitchen for 4 hours. And now here I am working again from like 2 p.m. till like 8:30, because the farmer's market goes from 4 to 8 p.m. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking about the details because I'd never done it before. I didn't know, you know, but luckily my husband had some foresight and said, I'm going to be there for you, you know, and help you. And he was, and his friend was too. And they set up everything. And also his friend like videotaped the whole thing, you know, and I was just focusing on getting it done. But he was just constantly videotaping. But everything took so much longer than I thought it would, you know, and even the tent. It's so hard to set up by yourself. I don't know. So everything was done. But then there were issues on how to hang the banners or certain things. It just, I didn't have the right equipment. You know, I had some rope, but I was like, oh, how am I going to hang this? You know, so Rodolfo figured everything out and he helped me. And then I was setting up the pastries. But time flew by and people were already wanting to order. So I had my first customer and he ordered brownies. And because he was my first customer, I gave him an extra brownie and it's gluten-free. So I was selling 5 items, actually 6 items, but I've decided to take that item off. It didn't really sell well. And that's the cherry jelly cup. It's just like cherry jello. But I thought, you know, someone at the hotel was saying, this item sells really well, especially kids like it. But I sold 2 to the person that suggested selling it, you know, so she bought 2, but that's it. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to bring this item again. It just doesn't fit really. It doesn't fit into the rest of the things that I'm selling. So I'm selling the pretzels, the glazed German donuts. I was selling strawberry streusel bars, which are like these buttery streusel bar filled with strawberry jam. And it doesn't look like much, but it tastes so good and buttery and soft, you know. So samples were the key. Having samples for people to try, because first of all, they've never tried it before. When they tried it, they wanted to get some, you know. And I also sold a gluten-free double chocolate brownie and a salted chocolate chip cookie. Okay, yes, those items aren't German per se, but I knew they would do well, or I hope they would. But then when I had a moment to step out of my stand, I realized there's like brownies and cookies 2 tents down. And I'm like, damn it, like I was set up to fail. But I don't think they had a gluten-free brownie, so okay. My items were still a little bit different. So I charge 5 for every item. It sounds like a lot, I don't know. But the thing is, there's nothing fake in my product. You know, there's real butter, real eggs, and just ingredients are expensive. You know, even for the gluten-free brownie, getting gluten-free flour, you know, that's so expensive compared to regular all-purpose flour. And just the time it takes, like it's just me, you know, and just to make these pretzels, I mean, I handmade that, you know, it's not some factory. So is $5 a lot? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. You know, the donut is not just a donut. I mean, when I bought a donut at a different tent, at another farmer's market, it was $7. Okay, yes, it was filled and it had a strawberry. But, I mean, things are not cheap. And that's the thing. You can't buy expensive products and then sell it for cheap. You know, it's just not going to work. So I felt, though, that people were okay with the price. I got some, like, feedback or not really feedback, like just reactions. Oh, like five, you know? But I'm like, yes, five. And I had to, like, stick with it, you know? Some people, like, toward the end, I realized, okay, I made too many donuts. I made too many pretzels. And toward the end of the night, I was giving an extra item only because, you know, I didn't want them to go to waste. And I thought, okay, let me contact a homeless shelter and give some products to the homeless of what I had left. And I called some shelters and it's like nobody really got back to me. And it's like nobody cared to get back to me. I'm like, I'm giving you free food. Like, you don't want to talk to me? So that was disappointing. Like, here I am. I want to help. And that's it. Like, nobody called me back. But back to the market. Overall, it was successful. You know, it was more work than I thought. And maybe I just really didn't think about everything because I didn't know what to expect. But I didn't have a chance to, like, barely drink or eat anything, you know, because I was constantly sampling. I was constantly talking. I was constantly trying to attract people. And it worked. You know, it worked. And people want to talk. They want to just hear about the items you're selling, you know, and they're big into the community. Like, it's not just a place where people buy stuff. It's a place where people talk and they get to know you, you know, so everybody wants to talk. And it's almost like if you go to a farmer's market, you're ready to spend time there because you're talking to everybody, you know. So it was a lot of work. And it was like the longest work day I had done in a while. But the thing is, it wasn't just me working for somebody. You know, it was different because this is my own thing. And yes, I thought I would sell more, even though other people said, oh, this was a slow week. Like, normally it's busier. And then you have to think about, okay, I have to give basically $60 fee for the tent space. I have to count in the food cost. So that was about $60. And I have to think about the kitchen that I rented to make these items. That was $80, you know, so I have to subtract $200 from what I made. I had $350 minus $200, so I made $150. Not that much. You know, not that much for so much work, but this was the first one. So I do feel positive. And some people, they did take cards and they were interested in private orders, which is where I think that's going to be important, you know, especially like setting up my website and getting other orders. So doing more of like the catering side. And I think I was so wrapped up in the day, you know, that I don't know. I've never had to work super hard to sell my items. I would just make them and they would sell. You know, everyone else did the selling part because I was in the back. But now I'm doing everything and it's a new perspective, you know. And I have to be good at it because if I'm not, I'm not going to sell. And these items are made fresh. You know, they're made that day and I handmade them. So it was just like very interesting and I learned a lot. And samples are super important. I think I sold so much more because of sampling, you know, but I think in the scheme of things, it was good. It was positive. Like, I took note of things that I needed to get and needed to order for the next time and just moving forward. You know, there was a little bit of wind. So instead of just using tablecloths, I need to get like these elastic ones that don't fly all over the place. You know, so I got those. They're like spandex tablecloth. I didn't even know that existed. But then I saw somebody else had them. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I need to get those, you know. And then it was done at 8. I had to give the $60 to the manager of the market. And also I noticed some people have cash, but most are all credit cards. You know, most are card. So I'm glad I had one of those like tap things. But again, the bank takes a percentage of that too. They take 2.5%, I want to say. I think it totals to be like 3. And at first I was charging people for the extra percentage. But later on, it's like, no. Like, I just decided, okay, I'm just going to not add this on. I don't know. For some reason, it made me feel a bit uncomfortable. Just because I had to ask every time, you know, because my menu says it's $5. But if they have card, then I have to add on a percentage. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I don't know. So I didn't. I started adding it and then I stopped. So, but I had so many people show up, like people that I worked with in the past, like in Aspen. And he ended up moving to California. So he drove 2 hours just to see me and get some items, which was awesome. And then the hotel I work at now, one of the pastry cooks showed up and she bought like 6 items, which was great, like super supportive. And someone that I hadn't seen or worked with since Palm Springs, like I was her pastry chef. And she was a pastry cook. And this was, what, like 14, 15 years ago? So, and here I was seeing her. She showed up because she now lives in San Diego. So she bought some items. So that was crazy. Like, I didn't expect that. You know, but it was so nice. And everyone was just so supportive. So, yes, it was a lot of work. But ultimately, it was successful. You know, I was just so tired at the end of the day. Like, we loaded the car again. Like, there's so much loading and unloading, you know. And we loaded it, drove back to the apartment, unloaded the car. And I was just like so exhausted. I went to bed. I don't know. The next day, I had this crazy headache. I think because I didn't drink enough water and it was just a lot. And then all day, I was like cleaning, you know, I was cleaning these large sheet trays. I was cleaning the pastry case. I was packing everything because I had to put all the equipment into storage. Like, I don't have a garage, so I can't just leave it in the living room. Like, I don't want to live like that. So basically, I had to do this farmer's market on Tuesdays and then Wednesdays, bring everything to the storage. But I planned it in a way that, okay, the kitchen items I need are at the house. So I'll take that box for all the equipment, come back, and then go to storage and bring my market equipment, you know, and just try to figure out the best way, because that day was just so much. So, yes, that was it. And, you know, and before the market, like, the market was Tuesday, but the Saturday, like a few days prior, Rodolfo and I got back from Arizona from visiting my dad. And that was the first time that they both met. You know, obviously we married in Vegas and none of my family or his family or friends or my friends were there. We eloped and I wanted my husband to meet my dad, you know, so we flew to Arizona and my dad ended up buying a car, which was pretty much exactly like mine, but better, like a upgraded model. You know, like everything was more electric. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And he was just like, yeah, I wanted something that was safe and good. And I always talked so like well about it. So he got the same car that I did. He picked us up. We ended up driving to Flagstaff. So we drove that night and there was this thunderstorm and we stopped at Sunset Point, saw the sunset. Then we continued driving on to Flagstaff, which is where my dad still has the house that him and my mom bought. But he's remodeling it and it's looking really nice. So he showed me everything that he changed. He changed the floors, the windows, the kitchen. He added on another room in the back, the exit to the garden. So he made a lot of changes. I'm happy, you know, that he has these projects. He has a place in Phoenix and he's just organized his life, which took a while after my mom passed. But something I noticed is like in my mind, in my memories, he's not 72. You know, he's this like young person, like filled with a lot of energy. And that's how I remember him. Like, yes, he always had to take his naps, but he always had like a lot of energy. And especially at work, he was always very focused. But if you asked him for something, he would do it, you know, and he would get it done. And I view him differently now. Growing up, sometimes I would be angry about certain things, just issues, you know, people have with their parents. But now, none of that really matters. And it was just good to spend time with him. And it was nice for Rodolfo to meet him. And my dad would tell a lot of stories. And he has a very thick German accent. And he would talk and talk and talk and say these long, drawn-out stories. And then the last few words were in German. So Rodolfo would be like, what? Like, what was the punchline? You know, so, but he didn't say that out loud. So then sometimes I'd have to like explain the punchline. Like it was funny, but also, you know, I felt sometimes like, oh, I want him to be involved, you know, so I would translate. But he's, you know, he's just stuck in his ways in the sense that he's going to talk German. Like, yes, he spoke English and I thought he spoke a lot of English, you know, for him, but he just wants to talk German, like, ultimately. Like, we stayed there maybe 3 days, and the last day, he just gave up on English. Like, he just spoke German the whole time, and then I'd, you know, translate a few things. But we went to the Grand Canyon the next day. I drove with his car, and I just realized, like, he can't do a lot physically. Even though I just saw him a year ago, I feel like a lot has changed, you know, with him just physically. Like, he's in good shape. But it's like when kids, you know, when they go through these big changes from year to year. And that's how I feel like when you get to a certain point, as you get older, I feel like there have been a lot of changes since I last saw him. And it's only been like a year and 3 months or something. So then I realized, okay, he's not that person in my mind anymore. You know, he's changing and that's life, you know, but now I'm not that far away. Like, I wasn't far away in Aspen, but it was a pain to get to and I never had time. So technically I'm only an hour flight away, which is not far. You know, even driving wise, it's okay, 7 hours, but still, I don't mind driving. It was an interesting trip, I think, just for me, psychologically, with the memories you have and what you have in front of you, it's a lot different. I feel like that's okay, and I just need to appreciate him, you know, for like the past and just enjoy him in the present. You know, there's things that happened, okay, like I don't necessarily agree with them, but it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's like with my mom, we had certain things that we didn't agree upon, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Like, it's family, you know, and I'm not saying, okay, I'm getting super old here, but I'm noticing changes within myself, my eyesight. I mean, I'm getting more like hair stubble, like just like random things, but I'm noticing changes within myself. When I see these changes in my dad, it's like, okay, like this is reality. And instead of having harsh feelings or thoughts, you know, that you disagreed with in the past, it doesn't matter. Like, you just have to see the person for they tried their best in that moment. Even if it disappointed you, or even if you didn't think it was their best, you know, but in that moment, they did what they could. I feel like I see that. And I feel like now he's got his life and he's got his projects and he does the things he enjoys doing. Maybe in some ways, you know, he's happier now than he was when my mom was there. You know, she kind of always told him what to do and he always felt a certain pressure. And now that's gone, and I feel like he's living his best life. You know, whatever that is in that sense. But it was just good. It was good to see him. And we went to the Grand Canyon. Obviously, you know, we went to the viewpoints and there was limited things we could do just physically. But I wanted him to see it because he hadn't seen it in like 30 years. The first time we visited the Grand Canyon. But he lives in Arizona and he never went again. You know, so we went there, spent maybe like 4 hours and then drove back. It's a 2-hour drive. But when we left, the line to get in was so long. So we woke up super early and were there, I want to say 9 a.m. And even then it was hot. You know, we went to the South Rim. There's also the North Rim, which I prefer. And I've been there once, but it's a 4-hour drive, you know, and that's a lot. And drove back and just spent some time together. You know, it was a short trip, but it was nice. And we had a barbecue outside. There was some loose wood. We put it on the smoker, grilled some chicken, you know, made some rice. I made some tomato salad and, you know, it was just like chill few days, which is weird for me because there's so many things to do. And in my mind, I wanted to do so many things. But then Rodolfo was always like, okay, just slow it down, you know, just calm down and just focus on your dad. I guess I needed him to say that because my mind is always so like 100 miles per hour. And also there were so many things I wanted to show Rodolfo, but at the same time, that's not the purpose of the visit. Yes, I want him to see certain things, but I also just want to spend time with my dad. And just mentally, I had to just calm down. We went on a couple walks, and then I went on a walk with Rodolfo to the forest where my mom was buried. But we didn't bury her, we strewed her ashes around the forest. We walked through there and walked through some trails. It's weird because there's no one spot I can visit. You know, not that I need that, but sometimes it's nice to just have one spot. You know, it's like a worshiping spot. Like with the ashes I had of my pets, I had these little boxes, you know, and I hiked up on a trail in Colorado in Aspen. And I put these boxes under a certain spot. And when I hiked that trail, I would go to these boxes and just sit, you know? And with my mom, it's like, okay, she's like in the whole forest. It wasn't like somber or all these memories. It was like a nice walk. And not that it needs to be somber, but I don't know. It was just, it was a good walk. And I didn't really put focus on, okay, my mom's ashes are here. You know, it was just nice to be in the forest. So as much as I was happy to leave Flagstaff, because I'd been there so long and there was so much tied up in me emotionally because I was in this place so long that I didn't really want to be in. I stayed there so long because of my mom and helping her. So when I left, it was like, thank God, you know, but now I visited and I appreciated it. You know, there was a lot of good that was there too. I went downtown and I saw some of the places, like this one cafe I used to work at. I don't mention it because whatever, I don't think I need to. But I was going to go inside and see the pastries and kind of maybe judge them and see what it looks like now. But we went too late. It was like 4 p.m. and they had already closed. But then I was like, oh, that's fine. I don't need to go inside, you know. And it's not like it was a bad experience, but the reasons why I left and I talked about is just I did my thing and I was fine with that. But I worked a lot and I was underpaid and I felt underappreciated. And with the whole mixer situation, like rumors that it was my fault that it broke, and it was just like a relief to leave, you know. So I haven't visited, I hadn't gone inside since I left for Switzerland. So now I was outside the place and about to go in. Luckily, it was closed. And that was the trip, you know. The next day, we drove back down to Phoenix and we flew back. And yes, it was an hour trip and everything was great. Everything left on time. But then we went back to San Diego and we were stuck on the runway for like 2 hours. I'd never been stuck on the runway like that on the tarmac. And I'd heard of other people that it happened to them. But wow, it made everything so much more exhausting. You know, it was like the whole day was messed up after that. I was just tired and I just wanted to do nothing, because then the next day I had to work. And then 2 days after that was a farmer's market, which was full speed ahead, you know. So ultimately it was a positive trip and I'm happy they met. My dad liked Rodolfo and Rodolfo laughed a lot and he just thought his accent was very funny. His humor, like the things that he'd talk about. But I told him, I said, he has a very thick German accent, like before we visited. And then he's like, oh my God, his accent is so thick. I'm like, I told you. So yes, that was the trip to Arizona. And there were just so many memories. Like good, ultimately they were good. I mean, when I lived in Flagstaff, I visited Phoenix so much. You know, I would drive down for the day or 2 days. You know, I would drive down to Sedona and teach there and then drive back. Like, I did a lot and it was like pretty stressful. You know, I did so many things. It just brought everything back, you know, and now my life is so different. And just, it wasn't that long ago, but it feels so long ago. I think because COVID just made everything else feel like nothing. You know, like COVID was this huge thing and everything before it feels so long ago. I don't know if you have the same thing, but I feel like just everything has changed so much, like the world, my life. And now, like I hung out with a friend who visited the farmer's market when I was working. And she was a pastry cook in Palm Springs when I was the pastry chef. And we hung out for a few hours and we went to the best ice cream place in the U.S., apparently, which is Ann's Dry Cleaning. And it's a theme. They have like a whole dry cleaning theme, but it's a gelato place. So you go in and they go through their whole menu. They're all special ice cream flavors. So I had a gelato with goat cheese, honey, and they put little black volcanic salt on top, which is actually really good. I love goat cheese in desserts. And if you ever try a cheesecake, add some goat cheese in it. Like, it just goes so well with desserts. We were hanging out and just talking. I mean, she's gone through a lot and I've gone through a lot, and just talking about it made me realize, wow, like I've lived in so many places, especially the last few years, and now I've come out the other side and I'm starting my own thing. Like, it kind of feels unbelievable. Yes, it's a farmer's market. That's the beginning. You know, I'm starting something. It's taking a while to sink in. Like, this is really happening. Like, right now, it feels like not much is happening because it's just going, like, very slowly. And it seems like working for someone now feels so easy. You know, you don't have to think about anything else. You just show up and do what they tell you to do. But having your own thing, there's so many layers, you know. And when I was at the market, I was just pushing everything hard because this is my money now. These are my products, you know, and everything is different. You know, I'm the one who's prepping it. I'm the one who's selling it. I'm the one who's putting up the tables and packaging. I mean, it's all me. And that took a while to sink in too. It's exciting. At the same time, it's scary. But I feel like, okay, something's happening. You know, this direction has started. I don't know where it's going to end. But I feel more positive about that than I did working at the hotel in Aspen or any other job I've had. You know, I don't feel like, okay, no one's gonna use me. You know, it's up to me. And whatever success I have, it's up to me. I mean, it was always up to me. You know, and I feel this like independence because I always felt like I depend on myself. Like, that's what there is. If it's going to get done, it's because I'm going to do it or because I'm going to plan it, you know, and I've had this like kind of crazy mindset because like I was talking to a friend last night and I realized I depend on myself. If I depend on somebody else and then they disappoint me, you know, which has happened so many times. And that's why I've had this mindset, you know, because I just have low expectations now. If I ask someone or I don't even ask somebody because I don't want that opportunity to be disappointed. And yeah, that probably needs some therapy, but I'm realizing this, you know, and when my husband helped me at the farmer's market, it was like, wow, I really needed his help, you know, and I was so grateful for it. And yes, he was being a supportive husband. Like, it's not like he did something crazy, but I didn't expect that. And I just realized myself, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready in my head to do everything myself. But then physically, I can't, you know, and it's okay to ask for help because damn, like, it's a lot. Life is a lot, you know, but sometimes it's hard. It's hard to ask for help because you don't know what's going to come along with that. And I just feel like kind of jaded. Like, life has like jaded me. And that's terrible. That's terrible. You know, I remember when I went to acting school, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to acting school. I'm going to get an acting job. I'm going to get on TV. I'm going to get an agent. Like, everything seemed so easy. But then none of that happened. You know, like, everything happened differently. Life happens, you know, but in my head, it was so naive. Not that that's bad, because that's what's beautiful, right? Like, when you see kids and they're just so innocent and untouched. And I feel like it's not bad to get back to that, you know, and just feel this level of like positivity, you know? And I feel like the restaurant industry, working as a chef, has really kind of messed me up. You know, mentally and just moving so much, I've always restarted and it's always been on me, you know, and I have like set friends, you know, I don't have a huge amount of friends and I'm okay with that. If people say something that they're going to do something and then they don't follow through, like, that is something I hate, you know, and I don't ask people for things because of that, because it happens over and over again. Like, I'm the sort of person, if I say something, I will follow through. I think This is about being open-minded and just allowing positivity to come back. Yeah. And I feel like it's taken so long, you know, and now I have the chance due to my husband and, you know, yes, I have no money, but he's helping, you know, and he's allowing me to take this opportunity to do my own thing, which I never could have done had I not met him. Life is crazy. I'll say it again and again. Life is crazy and also beautiful. Just appreciate the small steps, you know, the small things and rituals you do in a day. Like my ritual has been body pump, you know, because I just allow this stress to be released. I mean, my arms are getting really strong because of the weights. It's so important to have these routines and set things you can depend on, and they just make you feel better. So thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm Chef KB.